Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the M&M Q2 FY19 results conference call hosted by Elara Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please also note that this call is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Jay Kell of Elara Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you to the Q2 FY19 earnings call for Mahindra & Mahindra. From the management side, today we have with us Dr. Pavan Goenka, Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO, and other senior management personnel, including the IR team. I would now hand over the floor to Parthasarathy, sir, for opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of M&M, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I will share some key economic developments along with financials for Q2. After my comments, Dr. Goenka will share overall performance and insights in detail. Let me first briefly talk about some of the macroeconomic updates. Globally, there has been a marginal cut in the global growth forecast. IMF has now revised it to 3.7% in 2018 and 2019. U.S. is expected to grow at 2.9% in 2018 and 2.5% in 2019. China's economy is slowing down. It grew by 6.5% in Q3 calendar year, and IMF has revised its growth forecast in 2019 to 6.2%. U.S. Fed increased rates by 25 basis points, but there is more rate hike expected in 2018, one more, and further three more in 2019. Trade disruptions continued, and there is increasing uncertainty in global trade. In this global scenario, India's performance has been mixed but relatively better. Real GDP growth continued the upward trend and reached a nine-quarter high of 8.2% in Q1 FY19. RBI has retained the FY19 growth forecast at 7.4%, while the IMF estimate is 7.3%. IIP has seen a steady growth in April to August at 5.2% and grew by 4.5% in September 2018. Manufacturing PMI expanded to 52.2 in September 2018 versus 51.7 in August, while cumulative rainfall at the end of the monsoon season was 91% of the LPA. But if you exclude east and northeastern states, the average rainfall has been 96% of the LPA, which covers about 88% of the tractor industry. Consumer inflation has eased to a one-year low, with CPI falling to 3.31% in October versus 3.77% in September. Due to the higher crude and currency effect, current account deficit widened in Q2 FY19, which might lead to fiscal pressures, especially in an election year. On the back of this, let me share financial results for Q2 FY19. As we look at the quarter financials, there are three aspects for us to take cognizance of. First is the commodity price increase. There has been a steep increase in commodity prices, and we were able to take price increases to partially offset the same. Now, the commodity increases seem to be moderating, and over a period of time, cost impact can be passed on. But this quarter and next quarter may see impact of commodity costs in the financial, which will hopefully be offset over a period of time. The second aspect is introduction of new products. While introducing new products, there is an introductory attractive pricing. On the other hand, costs mature only with volumes and value engineering over a period of time. So margins are lower at the start or at the launch time, but overall IRR is good. Hence, you'll see impact of new product launches in this quarter, which will moderate over the period and become attractive. Thirdly, there are launch costs associated with introduction of new products. Launch costs are by way of advertisement to spread the word, including through digital. Also, there is amortization cost which kicks in during launch of new products. You will see the impact of all these three factors in the financial results of the quarter. I am happy to share that Q2 FY19, we have achieved the highest ever PBIT, PBT and PAT at M&M plus MVML level. Also, it's our highest Q2 revenue for the company, our M&M plus MVML put together. The financials are driven by a growth of 9.4% in the automotive sector. Tractor has degrown 4.7% due to shift in season. Overall net revenue is at 12,790 crores, growth by 6.4%. EBITDA at 1849 crores is 3.9% lower than previous year. OPM margin is 14.5%. 150 basis points lower versus previous year. However, as explained earlier, this is largely due to commodity cost increase and new product launch impact. PBIT at 2199 crores is higher by 5.7% versus previous year. PBT at 2161 crores is higher by 6.2%. PBT after EI grew by 13% at 2298 crores. Tax rate has come down and PAT before EI is 1642 crores, which is a 16.4% growth versus previous year. And PAT after EI is 79 crores, which is up by 26% versus previous year. So very quickly, let me give a couple of insights. One, deferred tax asset creation this quarter has helped the tax being better by 121 crores. And exceptional income of 136 crores has benefited the financials. Okay, so these are two things you need to keep in mind. Let me now go to
PBIT, not at the...
Okay, so good point. The deferred tax assets is at the PAT level because it is only the tax impact that we are taking. And exceptional income is at the PBIT or PBT level 136 crores, but tax is only 1 crore. So at PAT also it's similar kind of figure. Okay. But good to clarify both these aspects as Dr. Goenka pointed out. Auto sector revenue at 8446 crores is higher by 8.5% versus Q2 last year. And segment result at 664 crores is a drop of 19.5% versus last year because of the already mentioned factors. FES at 4,000 crores is higher by 1.8% in revenue, and at 813 crores profit is a margin of 20.6%, a PBIT margin of 20.6%, 3.4% lower than last year. Financial metric debt equity ratio continues to be very low at 0.1%, and net level is negative. Let me move to consolidated financial. At a consolidated financial, our net revenue is 26,000 crores in this quarter, growth of 15%. There are a few one-off items in the results of both Q2 F19 and Q2 F18. Excluding these items, PAT and after NCI grew by 8.8%. A few highlights for our key sectors as is below. Financial sector doubled its PAT at 381 crores from previous year. TechM continues its digital journey and posted a 1,064 crores profit at 27% YoY growth. Profit of Mahindra Life Spaces tripled at 41 crores and Mahindra Logistic at 19 crores showed a growth of 36% over its previous years. I will talk about one-off items, but let me just stop here. Request Mr. Dr. Goenka for his comments and insights. And in Q&A, when you ask the question, I'll explain the one-off item.
Thank you, Partha. Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. So I don't want to get too much into numbers. I will try and give you more of a qualitative feel on how the quarter has gone. I will start off with the five sort of indicators that I had said at the beginning of the year that we need to look out for both for the auto. These five were oil prices, commodity prices, monsoon, interest rate, and exchange rate. And as you all know very well, that all these five have probably gone adverse to what we thought it would be at the beginning of the year. Oil prices now are back to a comfort level. The monsoon, 91% looks low, but actually it is not so bad because the kharif sowing was good. Kharif output is expected to be slightly better than last year. The interest rate, though increased by 50 basis points, has not impacted the retail financing rate. Has more or less remained where it was at the beginning of the year. Commodity prices really has been significantly higher, but again, the consumers have not faced the full brunt of it because most companies have absorbed at least partially the increase in commodity rate. So overall, these five indicators, which I said will be will impact our industry growth, both for auto and tractor, have not been as favorable as we thought they will be at the beginning of the year. The first quarter actually was very good, and most of the change in direction of these has happened in second quarter, and therefore you can clearly see that in Q2, almost all segments of the industry have done worse than Q1. That doesn't mean they've done bad. I'm just comparing Q1 to Q2, and they've done worse than Q1. Part of it is also because of the shift of festive season, which affects tractors in a big way and affects passenger vehicles and the small commercial vehicles also in a very significant manner. So if I was to look at tractor industry, I'm comparing now Q1 to Q2 just to show what kind of changes happen in one quarter. Tractor industry growth has gone from 24% to minus 2.6%. Passenger vehicles have gone from 20% to minus 3.6%. LCVs have gone from 72% to 59%, though 59 one cannot complain about. LCV 2 to 3.5 ton has gone from 20 to 14, and MHCV have gone from 97 to 29. So good numbers, but yet less than Q1. Mahindra performance, you are aware, therefore I won't repeat the numbers, but in some segments we are slightly better than industry, in some segments we are slightly worse than industry. What has worked well overall, that the rural sentiment driving rural growth continues to be strong. In this quarter, for the first time, the way we define rural, and everybody has their own definition, the way we define rural, we have sold more vehicles in rural India than in urban India, going to 51% rural from what was last year, 51% urban. And again, this is a clear outcome of five good harvests in a row. Food grain production being 9.2% higher than long-term average, horticulture being 8.5% higher than long-term average, MSP is going up, rural investment continuing, and finance being easily available. We don't see any liquidity or availability issue or pricing issue in finance. So overall doing well in the rural sector. For some of our smaller businesses, or I should say upcoming businesses, Before I go to that, I just want to talk about the new product launches that will happen and also how we are re-forecasting or changing forecast for the industry growth for the year. The new launches that we have, Morazzo, of course, has happened as planned in first half of September. We have Altura's G4 happening on 24th of November. Again, as said, that we'll do two before the end of the year. And S201 will happen in the fourth quarter of FY19. We have launch of the Trio electric three-wheeler that will happen tomorrow in Bangalore. And we also have the launch of Java bike tomorrow that will happen here in Mumbai. The EKUV, electric KUV, will happen in the middle of next year. And the Furio ICV, which we had showcased about August, I think, will be launched again in the fourth quarter of FY19 or first quarter of next calendar year. On the electric vehicle side, we have seen a growth of about 30% from last year in the first half, though I must admit the 30% is less than what I would have expected to see, because 30% is on a very small base that we had. But good thing for Mahindra is that we now have the EESL phase 2 order that has come formally last month, and we have started supplying in the phase 2. And we can talk more about it if there are questions. Exports, surprisingly, are doing very well. We have had good growth in first quarter as well as second quarter. I won't go through the numbers unless there's a question on it. There's always a question on inventory. Before, I had mentioned at the end of 30th September, if I say, that is end of Q2, inventory was high, always is, just before the beginning of festive season. On the tractor after Diwali, we have more or less come to where we want to be in terms of inventory. And in terms of auto, the retails have been somewhat subdued for everyone in the industry, not just for Mahindra, for everybody. And as a result, we probably have 4 to 5 days more dealer inventory than we would like to see in the auto segment. Material cost increase, Partha alluded to it, more than what we had anticipated. We have passed on approximately half of the increase in selling price, and half of it either has been absorbed or has been offset by other things that we have done for cost reduction, such as value engineering. I will stop here. There are many other smaller businesses that there may be interest in, but I want to leave enough time for Q&A. So I'll stop here and answer questions, Partha and I, on any subject. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from a question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Our first question is from Hitesh Goyal of Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you just give us some sense on the tractor outlook? You had given a 12 to 14% kind of outlook for this year. Is there a change to that? And I missed the number on tractor inventory levels, if you can share that as well.
Okay. So on the tractor side, last quarter, we had said 12 to 14%. It still remains 12 to 14%. The difference is last quarter I had said bias towards 14. Today I will say bias towards 12. Because the festive season has been somewhat lower than what we, not bad, but somewhat lower than what we thought it would be.
The second question was around the inventory.
Inventory, as I said, in the tractor, inventory is where we want to be at the end of Diwali, post-Diwali. And on auto, inventory is probably 4 to 5 days more than where we want to be post-Diwali.
Okay, so tractor inventory would be around 30 days. Can you give us an exact number?
We don't give number, and therefore I don't want to give a number. But all I'm saying is that we are where we want to be on tractor.
And sir, my second question is on auto segment. So in SUV sales, Marazzo has gone through a decent pickup after the launch, but we are seeing other models not doing that well. So can you shed some light on what is happening on the portfolio on the SUV side?
So, as we have said during the briefing, that overall retail, and obviously billing follows retail, have not been as robust as we thought it would be during the festive season. The products that were doing good for us, which is Bolero, Scorpio, continue to do well. Marazzo has added to the volume, but the other volumes have probably gone up somewhat from where they should have been. So overall, we are at a marginal increase from last year. The product TUV, KUV are still at a very low volume, and so that situation has not changed much.
So would you say that Marazzo is kind of cannibalizing XUV500 to some extent?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think what I would say is that the overall industry is down. Okay, so if Marazzo was not there, we probably would have seen a volume degrowth. I would still maintain that Marazzo is not doing too much of cannibalization. I had mentioned at that time a number of 15-20% cannibalization, and I think still I would maintain the same number. So the reason the overall volume has not gone up is because the industry growth has been subdued, and not because Marazzo has cannibalized fully other products.
And in your experience, sir, how, I think
the moderator needs to decide whether.
Okay, sir. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Ronak Sada of Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is on Marazzo. If you can share the revised, the latest booking numbers.
As of 2 days ago, we had bookings of, I think, about 13,500 vehicles. We have already delivered to the dealers a little over 9,000, and we have retailed to the customers about 6,800 or thereabouts. And we have reached full production, by the way. So our ramp up in production has been fairly sharp, and we have reached the full production that we had designed the line for. Currently, we are getting in new demand at 130, 140, 150 a day, which is matching with the current production. Therefore, the waiting period, which is right now about 6 to 8 weeks, will probably remain 6 to 8 weeks, assuming the demand.
Sure, sir. Thanks for the detailed answer. So just, you know, adding to this, we haven't launched a petrol variant yet on this. So similarly for the S201, what's the, you know, focus now? Will we be launching, because it's pretty clear near to the BS6 launch as well, so it will be around 12 months before the BS6 as well. So what's the plan there? Will there be a petrol and diesel variant launched together?
S201 will be launched with diesel and petrol together. In Marazzo, the petrol will come later, probably around BS6, maybe a little bit later.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then.
And I just want to add that for the vehicle of size of Marazzo, the demand is still continuously predominantly diesel.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we also ask that if you could please limit your questions to one at a time. Our next question then is from Kapil Singh of Nomura Securities.
Hi, sir. I wanted to check your rural growth outlook for next year. And why do you think this sudden slowdown has come in? Because of all the factors that you talked about, there's been no dramatic change. So we are a bit surprised by the extent of slowdown, and the concern is that if everything is slowing down, will rural growth also slow down next year, and particularly tractors? So some thoughts on that, please.
Okay, so I want to moderate the word slowdown. It is not a slowdown; it is a lower growth than we had talked about. We meaning everybody in the industry, not just Mahindra. If you look at the growth numbers, the growth numbers in an absolute term, except for passenger vehicle, remains very good. The commercial vehicles, as I said, have grown as much as 40% in quarter two for the small commercial vehicle, as much as 15% for pickup segment, and as much as 30% for medium and heavy commercial vehicles. So this by no stretch of imagination is slowdown. The only reason we are looking at quarter two being not very good is because quarter one was extremely good, not seen for a long, long time in the industry. And therefore, we should not recalibrate that everything has to become like what quarter one was for the industry, which was an exceptional quarter. Okay. We also have to keep in mind that there was a shift in festive season, as we had said last at the beginning of the quarter also. Therefore, both Navratri and festive season being in this quarter three, there is a natural shift of demand that will happen for tractor in a very big way, for passenger vehicles in a medium way, and for commercial vehicles in a medium way. That shift will happen. So if I was to add the sales that have happened in the festive season, of course, they have been not announced right now, the negative of Q2 on tractor has been wiped out, and we are right now running YTD October at a growth of about 12.5%. Right, so just keep in mind that 12.5% growth for tractor, third year in a row, is not at all a slowdown. So please don't think of Q2 as being slowdown. The only segment where perhaps there is a slowdown is in the passenger car or passenger vehicle segment, which is also growing at about 5.5-6%, which was maybe 7-8% last year, growing at about 6.1% to be precise in passenger vehicle. And last year was probably about 7 or 8%. So we are growing at the rate of last year. Only because Q1 was very good, there is a feeling of slowdown. Okay. Now, the factors, as you mentioned, that everything is looking good. I just want to again point out the five factors that I mentioned at the beginning of my briefing. All five have gone south of what we thought it would be when we started the year. So whether that is the commodity prices, whether that is oil prices and therefore fuel prices, interest rate, though not seen so much by the consumer yet, monsoon sentimentally being 91% when the beginning of the monsoon season was said to be 100% or 98-99%. All of these things have some psychological and some real impact, and therefore Q2 growth perhaps was not as good as we thought it might be. But I don't see a slowdown in any sort of definition. And festive season again being subdued is relative to what the expectation was. If I compare festive season like to like, that is beginning of Navratri to the end of Diwali, 10th October to 9th November or 10th November, there is a growth compared to last year. And here right now we won't have full industry data available, so I cannot compare how the industry has done. But there is a growth compared to last year in this season. The rural sentiment, I would say, is positive. Because, as I said earlier, that we have 51% of our sales from 49% last year. And therefore, urban probably is more or less stagnant in terms of passenger vehicle sales, though we don't have exact data of urban-rural divide. And rural has probably grown at about 9-10%, okay, out of the 6% growth that we see. I just wanted to put that in perspective to, in some sense, challenge the thinking that there is a slowdown that we are seeing. I think you can ask the second question if you don't agree with me.
Thanks for the detailed explanation. I also wanted to check on Java motorcycles. What kind of capacity and dealership network are you prepared with for the first year?
We'll be announcing all of that tomorrow, and therefore I don't want to preempt the launch tomorrow. But what I can say is that capacity will never be a constraint. We have the whole Pithampur plant that was set up for Mahindra Two Wheeler Limited that will be available for Java. And therefore, capacity will not be a constraint. And whatever the demand happens, we'll be able to do it. We obviously have an initial estimate of what the demand will be. And starting with that capacity, we'll watch the demand and accordingly adjust.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Amyn Pirani of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on credit availability. Given what we've been hearing on the liquidity squeeze for certain NBFCs, is there a risk that there could be some credit availability issues, at least for a segment of your buyers, especially in tractors and commercial vehicles? I mean, have you seen that, or do you think that there could be a risk of something like this happening?
You want to take it? So far we have not seen any sign of loss of sales because of availability of credit to our end customer.
Okay.
The good NBFCs and the good banks do not have any liquidity problem. Therefore they are supplying funds and making up for perhaps pullback that might be happening from smaller and some NBFCs that may be in some liquidity trouble, and some banks that are being more careful are being compensated by the good NBFCs and good banks. So on the ground there is no liquidity crunch that we see, and on the ground there is no increase in finance rate that we see. But from what I'm hearing is if there is no sort of change that happens over the next 3 to 4 months, perhaps starting January, February, there could be an increase in interest rate which I hope will get compensated if that happens by virtue of reduction that is happening in petrol and diesel prices to make up for increase in exchange rate, increase in interest rate.
Yeah. Just to add to what Pawan says, that it is not as if there is no stress in the financial system.
Yeah.
There are, you know, like you said, that not very great NBFCs are finding that they have to focus on repayment and therefore curtailing and hoarding their cash. And certain public sector banks are watching their NPAs and therefore their ability to lend has come down. But what we can very happily say that it has not impacted auto and tractor industry because of some that this is a retail area and because also proactive planning by the two sectors.
I think having Mahindra Finance as our primary lender for our customers also helps, because Mahindra Finance is in a situation where they have funds available to increase their volume, and they in fact have had a volume increase and market share increase from their major customers.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is from Pramod Amthe of CGS CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. With regard to the MHCV segment, where you started the year with a good performance, there seems to be some fizzling out in October. Do you see any product corrective action required to go ahead, or is just the industry phenomena slowing down?
So October was an exceptional month in a sense that for Mahindra, we have outperformed the industry for each of the 6 months before October. In October, we were somewhat down in terms of our volume. But if I look at retail in October, we have retailed quite well. In October, the billing was down. All the same, what I do want to point out that YTD September, and I don't have the YTD October number with me right now, but YTD September, the industry has grown 47.3% and we have grown 63%. And in the process, I think our market share has gone up by 0.6 or 0.7. So I would have to right now write off October as an exception in terms of our volume not growing in line with the industry, and really watching November and December. And the outlook for us is that November, December, we should be back to growing slightly higher than the industry. But again, I just want to point out that's only 1 month. For 6 months, we have significantly outperformed the industry. I do want to add one thing, that there is an effect of axle loading norms that have changed in a sense that it is significantly redefining industry dynamics. What has happened as a result of that those customers who are buying a 37-ton truck are now buying 31-ton truck. Those who are buying a 45-ton truck are now buying 37-ton truck. And therefore, there is an inventory mismatch that I think every player must be facing. And there is also a change in preference that the customers may have for one make to the other make, because a customer may have had a preference of 31-ton with make A and 37-ton with make B. So all these things will churn over the next 2-3 months and come to a new steady state. Right now, we don't know what the new steady state will be, but this churn will happen in the next 2-3 months.
Thank you, sir. Next question is from Gunjan Priyathi of JP Morgan. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on the auto segment margin. Now, you did mention in your introductory comments that the pricing, the introductory pricing and the launch cost impacted the margin. Would it be possible for you to give some sense on what would be the amount of launch cost which would have been booked in this quarter? And also the profitability for the truck business, are we at the break-even levels?
So Partha will answer that, but before that, I just want to add one more thing to the previous question. We have just launched in the month of November, Blazo X, which is higher fuel efficiency than the model that we had before, and started the campaign for that. And I'm reasonably positive that will also have a positive impact on our market share and volume growth. Yeah, Partha.
On the auto margins, the first of the impact that I talked about was material cost, and Pawan did mention very specifically in his comment that about 2.5% with the kind of cost increase that we have seen, and we've been able to pass half of it. Yeah. So in a sense, the balance is what is the impact in the quarter. So that's one kind of impact. The second one which I talked about was that the new product launch, Morato, will have two kind of impact. Its cost is not mature, but and pricing is introductory. And that has an impact. Now we could say that's about 0.5% impact, which should over a period of time vanish. The third is launch expense. I would say a similar kind of the 0.6% or 0.7% of revenue is the kind of launch expenses. Yeah. But I want to kind of give a caveat. Please also remember next quarter we have launches. Yeah. So more from a modeling point of view, but these are the three impacts for this quarter on account of the new product launch.
I think that the amount, the impact of the launch, I think it's about 70 basis points.
That's what I said, just 50 to 70 basis points.
But I also want to caution that we would have a similar new product launch this quarter.
Q3, then.
Similar new product launch next quarter.
Also. Yeah.
So next two quarter, we will have this one-time high launch impact.
Yeah.
And truck business, if you can share, where are we right now on, in terms of the profitability?
So we had mentioned at the beginning of the year that we expect to be EBITDA positive in the truck business this year. We still are at that same level that we should be EBITDA positive this year.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Gurpreet Arora of Quest Investment. Please go ahead. My apologies. That was for Sonal Gupta of UBS Securities.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So just wanted to understand a couple of things. One, on the auto side, I mean, we continue to see weakness in terms of your volumes. I mean, even if you adjust for the Marazzo launch, we're clearly seeing probably there's again more erosion in some of your core models. So, I mean, anything, I mean, what are we doing to address that, and how do we expect to tackle that situation? Because if you adjust, I mean, overall, year on year, we're down like October, September, October put together about 10% on the SUV side, and that's despite the significant contribution from Marazzo.
Yeah, so I think going back to the question that was asked earlier, and same response, that overall, the UV segment has not done well in this 2 months. If you look at UV in September, October, the industry, I'll tell you in a second, the industry growth in September, October in UV, and therefore, without Marazzo, we would have had a volume degrowth. And with Marazzo, we are just about at a small increase. I'll give you precise numbers in a minute. So it's a phenomena because of UV industry growth, and this for the first time in several quarters that UVs are growing at a slower rate than passenger vehicles. Once the UVs pick up, and which I think they would with some new product launches that are happening, ours two more launches, the Altura's G4, which is of course not a very high volume product because of being a premium segment, and also the S201. Which is a high volume product, plus also one or two products announced by competition, other car makers, other SUV makers. They will help to increase the UV volume growth. There is nothing else specific that I can talk about. So the UV segment in September, October together has degrown by about 3%. And that's the reason why you are seeing that the volumes have not picked up. And we have, that number, September, October. I'll tell you in a minute where we are in September, October.
Yeah, just to kind of in between, before Pavan comes back, adding on it, I just wanted to emphasize that while PV and personal vehicles, the point has been taken, but if I hope you are looking at the other figures, which I presented in the press meet, that vans and cars, we have grown 27.2%, LCV by 22.8%, greater than 3.5 LCV at 20.6, MHCV at 48, and three-wheelers at 30.5. I'm just kind of not wanting to lose this portion of the growth, even as we see some bit of sluggishness in the PV side.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Jatin Chawla of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. Just wanted some color on SsangYong's performance in the quarter.
Color on SsangYong performance of the
quarter. Color on SsangYong performance. Okay. So for the 9 months of this year, because they follow calendar year, for the 9 months, the volume, the profit, and volume and profit and revenue has been roughly the same as it was last year. More specifically, this 9 months, right? The domestic volume is down by about 2%. Overall volume is down by about 4%. The total profit, if I leave out the first quarter of quarter three, has been about same as last quarter. That's not profit, but loss. It's about same as last quarter, last year quarter. We expect Q4 to be a profitable quarter after, I think, about four quarters. We are coming back to profit this quarter in Q4. That is October-December quarter. And the market, basically Korean domestic market, has been at very, very marginal growth, and SsangYong has been roughly about the same place.
Thanks. The second question would be on, in terms of compliance with crash norms, on the UV side, which are the products which are not yet compliant?
All the products that need to be compliant are compliant now, and all the products that need to become compliant next year will become compliant next year. So I think there's only one very low volume product that I don't want to name. Is the only product that we'll be phasing out because of safety norms. All the other products will continue. There will be one or two, again, smaller volume product that will phase out with the BS6 norm, but all the major volume products will continue beyond BS6 norm.
Thank you, sir.
There may be one or two month gap that will happen because of the ruling of Supreme Court, but other than that, we should not have an issue.
Thank you, sir. Next question then is from Gurpreet Arora of Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Two quick questions. With respect to tractors, BS4 emission norms kick in from October 2020. What sort of preparedness do we have, and what sort of cost increases are we envisaging? And second is on Roxor. If you can share the performance volume numbers of Roxor and any update on the lawsuit which is going on. Thank you.
About tractor going to BS4 in October.
BS4 tractor cost.
BS4.
Trem4.
He said BS4.
Yeah. Do you mean Trem4 tractor? The emission norm that are supposed to come in October or April 2020, right?
Yes.
I don't have that number yet. I'm sure you know that this is only for 50 horsepower plus.
Yes.
Which means only about 7 or 8% of the total industry that will be coming under the higher emission norm. It is supposed to happen either in October 20 or in April 21. It's still being debated. And as of now, we do not have a full handle on what the cost impact would be.
Sure.
And the second question was on Roxor. So Roxor, we have not released precise numbers of billing retail and kit shipment from India. But we have done quite well from March, we expect that by end of this financial year, probably sell somewhere between 4, 4.5, maybe 5 of that range is a number that we will be selling by the end of this financial year.
Thank you, sir. Next question is from Janjit Darapoy of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just wanted to clarify on the, the breakup that you gave on the UV side in terms of cost pressures. So basically, material costs are up 2.5% or 250 basis points.
Point impact on the margin because of material cost increase.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Of which you passed through half, and is there any plan to take another price hike?
Roughly half passed on through price hike.
Yeah, he got that. He's saying,
okay.
Is there any plan for price hike in the second half?
That I wouldn't be able to say today. That decision is made in a very dynamic situation, and obviously we look at what the market and what's happening by others.
Okay, all right.
There is also a commodity which we have to watch. We are getting mixed signals right now. That itself may prove positive and we may be able to set off. And the third point, we should not forget that the VAVE which we do, which now is currently brought by the sudden increase in commodity price increase, yeah, will also be over a period of time come. But on a short-term basis, this is a pain point, yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Chirag Shah of Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead. Chirag, your line is open. Would you like to ask your question?
Yeah, hello, hi, sorry. This is Jay here from Edelweiss. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just very quickly, could you please help us with the breakup of the exceptional items for this quarter? Thank you.
Yeah. Just one clarification, are you talking about standalone, M&M plus MBML?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, okay. So exceptional item is what we have kind of divested some investments net of, other impacts that we give, including impairment, is 136 crore positive for this quarter. That's the exceptional item for this year. Same time last year, there is no exceptional item.
Exceptional,
but
the tax.
Yeah, so yeah, separate, tax is separate. So this is on the exceptional item. What Dr. Goenka is pointing out that I mentioned two things. One is exceptional item, which you've asked. But let me also go and say there is another, in a sense, one-off item, which is deferred tax assets. In tax, there is a benefit to the extent of 121 crores because of the deferred tax asset creation. We have carry forward losses, capital side, which we have created an asset which is benefiting P&L by 121 crores on the tax line. Yeah, this is standalone. Your question was towards standalone, right?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Samantha Khan of ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just wanted to know, this quarter, three-wheeler sales were slightly on the higher side. I mean, a bit different from the usual run rate. Anything one-off or anything that we don't know available in the public domain happening in this segment for you?
Okay, I wouldn't say one-off, but you know that we have electric three-wheeler, electric E-Alpha, as we call it, which we have launched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's picked up quite well. And we are selling 800 to 1,000 a month. And that's certainly adding to our overall three-wheeler volume. So our diesel three-wheeler or CNG three-wheeler volume remains intact. And this becomes additional volume for us.
How much did you say is the additional volume?
800 to 1,000 we are selling.
Okay.
We are probably the largest market share of electric three-wheeler today in the market.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. And on exports, can you talk a bit about, what's your expectation for the rest of the year?
You're talking auto, diesel, auto, tractor, or both?
Both at this point.
So export is a pretty positive story for us. In fact, in the first quarter, we had a growth of almost, 70-80%.
Mm-hmm.
In the quarter two, we had a growth of 19%. Overall, we have a growth of 50% on the auto side.
Yeah.
And this growth is coming from basically around all our geographies, 36% growth in South Asia, 35% growth in South Africa, 70% growth in many other smaller markets that we have and coming from all over. So it's a very positive story for us in terms of export growth for auto. For tractor, export growth is marginal. Overall, we have a growth of 2.2% in the half and about 4% for the quarter. But the numbers, last year we had good growth in export in tractor. Last year we had a poor growth in auto. So if I look at 2-year period, then I think auto and tractor are about average. And I should also add that W109, which is the Scorpio pickup that we do not sell in the domestic market, we sell only in export market. We had launched a refreshed version of that with increased power, and that product is doing very well in all the markets where we're selling that product. We had also started a CKD plant in South Africa, and this product, the Scorpio pickup, is made in that plant now. And that plant is running at the capacity that we have for the plant. So that product and the KUV, which has not done as well in the domestic market, actually is doing quite well for us in the export market. So these two products, the Scorpio pickup and the KUV, are driving our export performance. Soon we will launch the Marazzo. We will also launch the S201 in the export market. So Marazzo we will launch only after we come to a point where we have spare capacity for export. Right now we cannot. And S201 we will launch at least in one market immediately. And after that we'll wait for the demand and capacity difference that we have from domestic demand before we launch an export.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Shyam Sundar of Sundar Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you talked about slightly slower growth, tractor growth, more towards the lower end of the guidance. Okay, let me correct it. More towards the lower end of the guidance. What factor? What industry factors that are causing us to maybe shift to this lower end of the tractor guidance? Any color in that?
So guidance is the direct outcome of the performance of volume, industry volume in 4.5 months. YTD October, the growth is 12.5%, and we do not see a growth much higher than that in the remaining 5 months, in November, December, January, February, and March. And therefore, we are saying that about there, about 12.5, which is where we are end of October, is where we should probably end the year. We will see a higher percentage growth in the month of November because of Diwali. Somewhat lower than again in December, January terms because we have a higher base for Q4. So overall, for the remaining 5 months, November to March, we see growth similar to what we have in the first 7 months, and therefore we should end it about that level. And that's the reason we are saying, because we were expecting better volume in these 4 months, July, August, September, and October, than what we actually have. And hence, we have gone from being biased towards higher range to biased towards lower number in the range.
Okay, but the on-ground sentiments are still pretty positive, right?
So Diwali, the festive season, that is starting from Navratri to Diwali, have been positive. For some reason this year, Navratri season, which of course is different things in different parts of the country, was subdued. The Diwali season, Diwali itself did very well, but the Dussehra season or Navratri season was subdued. So overall, if I add Navratri and Diwali, there is a growth, but not as high as what we had planned on. We are talking industry, and this story is true for almost every player. Not as high as we had planned.
Okay. With fuel prices softening, do we see passenger vehicle buying sentiments reviving? According to you, what are some factors that can help improve the customer buying sentiments, or do we expect the rest of the year to remain subdued as well? And given that you also indicated that interest rates are going up, so are there any factors from your perspective for the passenger vehicle industry to revive more in the UV segment?
As I said earlier, that there are three or four factors that had reached levels which were not comfortable levels. The fuel prices, which are driven, of course, by crude prices, and the commodity increase, To some extent, the interest rate, though, as I said earlier, interest rate have not yet reached the customer. Each of these have now taken a turn for the better in the last 2 weeks. And therefore, I would expect that it will be a positive impact from the macroeconomic side, positive impact for the remaining 4 or 5 months. Yet, I am repeating what I said earlier, that beginning of the year, or beginning of this quarter, beginning of Q2, 3 months ago, we had talked about the growth in passenger vehicle being in double digits, that is 10-11%, for the first time in many, many quarters or many years. That was based on very, very unexceptionally good quarter one. Okay. Now we are saying that the 10%, reaching 10% is very unlikely for the passenger vehicle segment. We probably will end up at 7-8% for the passenger vehicle. And UV and passenger vehicle, passenger car should be about the same.
Thank you very much, sir.
Last question.
Our last question is from Rakesh Kumar from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was about tractor. Dr. Goenka, tractor industry has usually seen a cyclicality, more typically of around 2 odd years. But over the last 2-3 years, we have seen that cyclicality being broken. So what do you attribute the reason for that? Has there been a new use cases in the industry which we are seeing has started driving demand? Or is there something which has changed over the last 1 year in the agriculture industry itself, which is continuing such a strong double-digit growth for a prolonged period of time? It would be very helpful if you can also help us with some number, if you have, on the demography of the people who are using the tractors.
Well, I wish we knew exactly what happens. I can only talk post what has happened. So typically one would expect the industry to go into a 2-year cycle. This time the cycle has been 3 years. Okay. And the very simple explanation that I can give for that is that the down cycle this time was also longer than normal. But before we started growing, this third year of good growth, before that we had 2 or 3 years of negative growth in a row. And I think it was only last year that we got back to the volume of 5 years ago. So if I was to look at a CAGR over a 6-year period, I don't have the data in front of me, but if I was to look at a CAGR of about 6 years ago, we still have had a modest growth. Now, the question that you may ask is, okay, so we have 3 years of good growth, then will we have a 4th year of good growth? So the next financial year, and I would really not be able to put any guess in front of you today. Maybe when we are talking this time in the fourth quarter, end of January, maybe we'll have some view on the fourth on next year. But right now, I don't have a view on next year. So I would say that you should look at CAGR of 5-6 years. And in the 5-6 year CAGR, we are roughly where we have as a long-term average for tractor industry. Before we wrap up, I just want to go back to one comment that I made earlier. In a passing, and I just wanted to clarify so that nobody misunderstands what I said. I had mentioned about BS6 because of Supreme Court judgment impact. So I just want to clarify what that might be. As you know very well, that the Government of India notification was that we have to stop manufacturing as of 31st March, and in the notification they had given us 3 months to sell post 31st March. Honorable Supreme Court has decided that the last date for selling is 31st March, which means that we have to stop making BS4, I would say, roughly 3 months before that. That means maybe somewhere in early January, middle January will be the last date for making BS4, which also means that we have to start making BS6 about 3 months earlier. And right now, all our plans were as per 31st March being the last day for manufacturing. Now we are revisiting those plans to see whether we can prepone about 3 months, which, given that only 15 months are left to that, is not an easy task. That doesn't mean that it cannot be done or it will not be done. Right now, our engineering teams are working on it. I don't know right now whether we will end up with some models not being ready on in middle of January, but we'll obviously try very hard that all the high-volume models are ready by middle of January. Also, it's very important that the fuel is ready by 1st of January because for 3 months, both BS4 and BS6 will have to coexist in the market as BS4 ramps down and BS6 ramps up. And if for some reason the fuel is not available on 1st of January, then there will be a major issue because then we have to manufacture BS6 vehicles and store them in our plant. And there's nowhere we can store 3 months worth of supply in the plant. So that point has been made by the industry, has been noted, and I hope that the fuel becomes available by 1st of January, the BS6 fuel. So I just wanted to clarify that point.
Yeah. So before we close, there's one question which I got from a few people. On the consolidated, there is a EA in one of items. Some clarity on that, if that's not
okay. Okay, I was hoping somebody would ask that because I said that I'll make that point. So first, let me say last year, in your tax line, there is 1,000 crore roughly. I think absolute figure is 985 crores. So that is because of merger of two wheelers, we got a one-time benefit. So it's lying in the previous year. So if you want to make apple to apple comparison, last year, take that 985 crores and make the profit lower by 985 crores at a PAT level. This year also we have couple of exceptional item, and that I want to take you. One is the 454 crores, which is arising out of reduction in gross obligation to acquire non-controlling interest. So whatever we had estimated earlier, now we don't have to pay as much, and the benefit we are getting is 454 crores. And I have also talked about the tax impact, that deferred tax capital asset that we created, 121. So this year there is a 121 plus 454 crore benefit, and the previous year there is a 1,000 crore benefit. So if you knock off net 500 crores is the delta because of that. If you add that, that's why I put a figure that before you do these items, there it is a growth of 8.8%. Okay, and the figures are 1,075 this quarter as against 988 last quarter, which is 8.8% growth. Okay, but even if somebody has to ask offline questions on the consolidated, yeah, happy to answer. Sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for your time, and thanks for giving us this opportunity. Thank you all participants for participating in the call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect your lines.